If you're receiving this transmission, then this operation is a success. Dr. Nick and the hot Aussie chick are in the house and ready to dissect blackjack, poker, and everything in between.
Good afternoon and good evening. This is Dr. Nick.
And the Hot Aussie Chick.
And we are broadcasting in the Dr. Nick and Hot Aussie Chick Show live from underneath the Harbour Bridge in Sydney, Australia.
Which is just lovely. It's a nice cool breeze. Nice hot weather, but nice cool breeze.
I just arrived in Sydney.
Can I just correct you first?
Go ahead.
Technically, we're not live, but that's okay.
Technically, we're all monkeys, but...
Right. Technically, we are.
Well, I just arrived in Sydney this morning after a short 14-hour flight.
Short, eh?
Yes, yes. Where I arrived and my bags did not.
That is correct, which means he's been walking around naked for the last 24 hours.
Not naked, but definitely hot and sweaty. But the good news is I did call the airline and they should be here within 24 hours. Should being the operative word.
Right. I wonder why you're closed. Didn't want to come to Australia.
I don't know. I've seen the Harbour Bridge and I've seen the Opera House. Is there anything else that Sydney has?
There is. There's Star City Casino.
Where is that?
Well, we'll go have a little look later.
Okay, great.
Let me just say, no offense, Star City Casino, but it's only one casino. It's nothing like Vegas.
Yes, Vegas
is... It's not
like
a whole strip of casinos. Yes.
So, this is the Dr. Nick and Hot Aussie Chick Show, and we decided to, not too long ago, to get together and do a podcast where we discuss all things casino gaming, you being the poker aficionado that you are, and me being the expert... quote-unquote, in quotations, expert, in pretty much all other types of advantage play.
Actually, while you say that, I did read an article this morning that you'd written.
You did?
And a comment.
And?
Well,
I deny nothing. I take no responsibility until I hear the comment.
Well, the comment says that you are one of the big gambling boys. Well, not gambling, so to speak. A gambling great.
Well, I don't know if I'm a gambling great. I do my very best, but... But in any event,
tell me what this best is. Tell me about you. Tell everyone about you. Because likeliness is, if I'm sharing this show on Facebook, given I share everything on Facebook, then people are going to know who I am.
Right. Well, that's a good place to start. We should give a little bit of background about ourselves.
We should.
My name is Nicholas Colon. I've been in gaming for, God, almost 20 years now.
You old fart.
Well, ironically... I think you're about a year older than I am, Danielle, aren't you?
I don't know. Am I?
Well, yes. Well, I've been in gaming for about 20 years in a variety of aspects. I cut my teeth shortly after my 21st birthday with the MIT Blackjack teams. And made a little bit of money that way. And during undergraduate school, towards the tail end, I kind of played with them. And during graduate school, I also continued to play with them. After undergraduate, I was enrolled in a PhD program in the Midwest.
You know, half of Australia that's listening doesn't understand a word you're saying. But continue. This is for the Americans out there.
Well, graduate school. After you do your four-year university, you do graduate school.
Right.
So I was studying applied physics, and I discovered some things. And rather than get the PhD, I decided to withdraw from the program and patent the idea. And that way I would get the money from the... From the patent, rather than if I did not, the university would get the money.
Smart thinking.
Yeah, well, I read a book years ago, prior to that, about the guy who invented Polaroid cameras, did the same type of thing. After that, you know, I made some money with that and continued to play Advantage Play Blackjack and some other types of things. And I went to medical school and through undergraduate school.
Hence the Dr. Nick.
Yes, yes. All through undergraduate and medical school and graduate school, I decided to continue playing and paid for a good portion of my programming that way, or my medical program that way. And just always had a knack for it. After that, I got an MBA to kind of round out the whole career.
Jack of all trades.
More or less. Would like to think so. But I took that and I kind of parlayed a lot of that stuff into some consulting that I've done, and I developed a couple casino games, and, you know, that's pretty much where I've been. I got into writing. I'm probably the lead writer for 888 Casinos, a lot of technical articles, Gambling Insider, Forbes Magazine, Entrepreneur, Las Vegas Advisors, Gambling with the Edge.
Okay, I should have gone first. I'm going to sound like crap now.
No, in any event, but we... I think it's important that we take this knowledge and we expand it, and the things that we've learned over the past, 40 years between the two of us playing, and kind of, let people know what's going on. And between the two of us, we also have a quite a extensive friend base of, highly peaked professionals.
Right, which can also help our listeners. And, of course, it's about building bridges.
Bridges.
I mean, I've done radio shows before, and I've always said building bridges because people can't understand me.
Yes. So, give us a little bit about your background, Danielle.
So, it's nothing like yours. Far from impressive. Or as impressive, I should say. But I did get educated in IT and accounting, which obviously does not help with poker. Well, maybe the accounting bit. IT when I'm playing online, but it is banned in Australia now. So
that just happened recently.
Right, which really messes me up.
It happens.
Well, it doesn't seem like just recently. It seems like years ago. It's just hell on earth. Nonetheless, so I have played online poker for a good part of, I think 15 years now. Mm-hmm. I don't keep track. Which I started on Party Poker, single mum, children, nothing to do. Searched online games, up came Party Poker, away I went. Got play money playing, would you believe?
Okay.
And I was just so good, I thought there's got to be something better. A friend of mine, dead now, rest in peace, Rich, told me go actual play for money, and I did, and I supported my children doing that.
For the better part of what, 15 years?
Yeah, which is fab, kind of, right. I suppose. I don't know, it kind of really puts a lot of pressure on, so I certainly understand the highs and lows of gambling.
So the highs and your lows, the yeses and the nos.
Right. Of course, then I was right into poker, and I was doing well, and I found myself on Gus Hansen's theplay.com. Doesn't exist now, people. All gone. Dusted. Gone. And I was moderator and news writer, and I helped set up what was then, different now, PokerWiki and PokerTube. I'm pretty sure they're not the same ones. If they are, you're welcome, everyone. You're very welcome.
Now, you just launched a new venture recently. What is that all about?
I did. Well, let me get to that.
Okay.
So I went and started writing for Australian Poker Weekly, which most Australian poker players would have maybe read my articles. Lots of interviews with the big name pros, etc., etc. Not much strategy, because, I'm really not much of a strategy
Poker players aren't really into keen to sharing a lot of their strategies. I know a lot of advantage players are not as well.
Well, I did speak to one poker player, and she wrote in a book. She, whoops, kind of, that limits it a little. and she has had her own writings used against her at the table. So.
Oh, I see.
I have blogged, though. I've done a lot of blogging with strategy in it. And I also, of course, wrote for various magazines. I've written for Poker Pro Canada, Poker Pro USA, a women's magazine, and that brought me to, of course, yes, I am now, what would you call my position?
Editor-in-chief?
I suppose. I'm not much of an editor, but something like that. Of women's
the head
poker
honcho,
world.
I say, right?
Yeah, boss bitch.
womenspokerworld.com, a online magazine.
That would be correct.
And I'm expecting by the title you do cater to the female aspect of poker
and
players.
The males, obviously. There's, poker strategy works for both women and men. It's a complete poker lifestyle magazine.
Okay.
So it's got traveling information and, packing, even at home, making gardens that you don't have to look after.
So little side things that poker players, and specifically women poker players, can do, because they can't be doing poker 24 hours, 7 days a week. There needs some downtime.
And if they are traveling a lot, and they are playing a lot, and if they're lucky enough to be able to play online a lot, time's limited, especially if you've got kidlins running around and all the rest of that stuff.
I've never heard that term before.
So, yeah, I suppose that's me. I've, done this, done that, developed this, done that, anyway.
Okay, great. Well, now that we have an introduction of who we are, let's kind of touch base on what it is that we hope to accomplish with this show.
No, I think
with
poker
show.
Meets blackjack is a pretty good cover.
Correct, right.
It's like every casino game.
It's the two most popular games in the casino. True. Not so much poker now is kind of, you're seeing a lot of kind of a tail off.
Until the World Series of Poker comes along. And
right.
There are thousands and thousands in the Colossus event.
Right, but in Vegas, I've noticed that a lot of poker rooms are decreasing.
Yeah. Yeah, you were right. I'm sorry, it just makes me sad. Very sad. I bet.
So, the main objective that we talked about before we even started this was we want to, you know, kind of give people the general idea of how to increase their casino gaming experience.
Right, and how to make sure you're not, you know, wasting your money, doing the wrong thing. You know, there's lots of poker strategy out there. There's lots of blackjack strategy out there.
Roulette and, you know.
Right, and it's kind of bringing it all together and in an audio form.
Right.
Which also covers a lifestyle and hints and tips and money saves and all the rest of
that
kind of stuff.
My objective that I've always tried to portray or get across in my writings, whether it's for 888 Casinos or whether it's for Gambling Insider, is trying to increase value for the player. Because in Vegas, as you know, because you just went to Vegas for the first time last year.
Four times now.
In the last year. Actually,
in the last 7 months.
Yeah, the Las Vegas is just a shadow of what it once was.
Right.
A lot of the casino, a lot of well, I would a lot of the a lot of the, you know, benefits or the cheap buffets and cheap meals and just have gone downhill. So we're trying to give people that taste of what it was in the past in Las Vegas.
I don't know. I did really well my last trips. I got one of the Las Vegas Advisor memberships, and that book, the coupon book, holy cow.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, Anthony Curtis.
The savings, yeah.
Yeah, LasVegasAdvisor.com. Check out the book. It's they have a lot of 2-for-1 coupons for buffets, and
right.
there's that $50 comp that you and I went out to dinner with at one time.
Yes.
It's an all-purpose comp at the Palms. It's $50, so you spend $100, you'll have to pay $50, and that just pretty much pays for itself.
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. So that's, like increasing value, that's definitely one of the things.
Right.
And travel tips. I mean, you know, I was like, I had a friend coming over. Well, everyone that plays poker would know him, which would be Alan Kessler, coming over to the Aussie Millions. And I'm like, Alan, make sure you get a power adapter. You know, you need to convert your power from... And make sure you get... He didn't know that he needed to get an electronic travel authority. He's like, do I need a visa? It's just a matter of days, of course, before the man leaves the country.
Right.
No offense, Alan, but that was a dick move. Anyway, you know, so travel tips such as that, even packing.
Yeah, I've traveled overseas several times, and it's always probably say 6 or 7 times. But when we were talking for me coming over, you probably gave me one of the best travel tips I've ever had. Is when you're going on an extended flight.
Take a pillow,
folks.
And I don't mean one of those shitty
ones. A full pillow that you would sleep. Oh, it saved my life.
I'm so pleased. I'm glad you took the pillow.
Yes, it was very good. But in general, the flight was actually pretty pleasant. It was a Virgin Australia flight, a 777, and the damn thing was about half empty. So I mean, I got to stretch out and lay down.
Sweet. The pillow would have been even better if you had a whole row to yourself.
Yes, it was fabulous.
Flat and slipped the whole way. So yeah, travel tips. Travel tips is another thing. Of course, strategy. I mean, you can't shut this man up about blackjack. And
I love the game. I love all types. I love getting the edge on a casino. Taking a game, whether it's poker, blackjack, roulette, video poker, anything that is originally designed to get money from you, when you can turn it on its head and get money from it, there's nothing better.
And then, of course, there's poker as well. I mean, I'm not sure that I can help with much strategy, but maybe a little.
Right. But
for beginners.
Well, that... Or retards. People have to start somewhere, right?
Retards.
Right. So those are some objectives. Also, you know, like I said, between the two of us, we know almost everybody, I'd say, in big name within the casino poker blackjack community.
And we have people that are wanting to come on the show already.
Right.
So that's really good.
Right. So, you know, authors, long-time authors, long-time gamers, guys who have intimate knowledge of how the casino gaming industry works.
And how poker is played.
Right.
So you can get your strategy from them, especially when it comes to poker. Well, blackjack you can get from this, and poker... As I said, I'm not a strategy writer.
And in addition to these interviews, any professional player has some unique insights and crazy tales that have happened
from
to them.
Behind the felt.
Yes, beyond the felt.
Beyond it. Okay,
some things that happen in casinos and two players, advantage players, poker players, who, you know, that normally people wouldn't realize, but they do happen. And
have
we're going to
been attacked?
Attacked? No, I've never been attacked.
Well, that's one up I've got on you. Have you ever been chased out?
I have.
Okay.
Quite a few times.
You've been chased out, I've been attacked. So there you go. Just stories like that. They kind of excite everyone's lives, make them laugh. I don't know, put a comedy spin on it, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's, you know, there are things that you can laugh at the time, but...
At the time?
You couldn't laugh at it, you couldn't laugh
right.
at the time, but looking
yes,
back
no.
at them, you definitely can,
yes,
can
now.
Laugh now.
Right.
But at the end of the day, most of these stories usually come from casino personnel, and there are times...
Or the TSA...
There are times when
I was detained once.
You were detained?
Yes, in Hawaii.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
That was not nice. So, yes, travel comes into that
Yes,
part.
Well, they thought you were a threat to the United States, all 52 kilos of you?
Yes, apparently they did. They even looked at all my underpants. And they
right.
wore gloves, which was offensive.
Gloves and the... Well...
Oh, actually, I shouldn't say that. That sounds bad. They wore gloves looking through my bags, not touching me. Okay, let's change the subject.
Yeah, which airlines was that? Which airline was that you went on during that?
It was Hawaiian Airlines.
Would you ever fly Hawaiian Airlines again?
No.
Never?
No. Never. I was terrified. I'd done nothing wrong.
What?
Do you
what
know what
exactly?
It's like when they lock you in a little room?
Yes.
Like locked in a room.
I do know what it's like to
okay,
be locked in.
Right.
Not by the TSA, but by definitely authority.
You're a criminal.
I am not a criminal. I have a clean record.
I've
been accused of several things.
Well, so have I.
Yeah.
Well, not accused. What's the word?
Detained.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Detained.
Yes.
Detained.
Detained on grounds of suspicion.
And do you know what it's like trying to explain that you're a traveling poker player?
No.
It's impossible. The woman said that if my story didn't sound as crazy as what it did, then she wouldn't have believed me. There's no way anyone could make up my life.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I would say so.
And you, that's a crazy tale. Yes, he got arrested.
Yes. Well, there's pending litigation
Let's
on that
talk about
one.
That
so
some other time.
So we will come back
yes.
to that eventually.
Yes. And then casino news.
Yes. The highs and lows of 2017 we'll talk briefly about and what we expect on 2018.
No, I was saying that we're going to talk about casino news.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if something
yeah.
great, what's something that's just happened?
Well, here's
second?
Some interesting things that have happened in Vegas.
Each show, I mean.
Yeah, but well, in the last, I'd say, last couple months in Las Vegas, you're not going to hear this, but casinos have been hit by, I would say, burglars would be the best terminology.
Mm-hmm.
People coming in and they take crowbars.
Robbers.
Yeah, they go into the high limit areas, usually during the day when no one's in there, and they take crowbars and they wedge out the tray of casino chips.
It's not you.
No, it's not me.
It's not me either.
And I learned about this the hard way because if you're playing, you know, at medium stakes, you know, if you have black chips, you turn in. Usually, casinos, they tend to keep track of the purple chips, the $500 chips.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes they give you a slip or,
mm-hmm.
or they call over there or whatever the
mm-hmm.
case may be. Or the $1,000 chips, the
right.
same thing. But there was a time, I was at the Palms Casino late last year. And, you know, I had like $300 and three black chips on me.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted my player's card and they wanted to know where I got the chips from. So
because of the robbers? Right.
Because of the robbers, yes.
Right.
So and then New York just got hit recently too.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right, right.
There's armed robbers too, not just crowbar robbers.
Yes, this group went to the cage in Las Vegas and you know, gave the guy a note and said he had a gun and you know they gave him you know the money, and late
as you would right.
If you're gonna be a robber, you know you might as well, you know, go to their cages. But
no. I mean, as you would give them the money.
Oh, definitely.
They did do that.
Definitely,
I'd be saying, take their money, take it.
Yes, it's not mine. I ain't worth my money.
Exactly.
Yeah. But late last year too, I remember we were talking about this. The Bellagio poker room was
robbed.
Yes, and that was put out tweet out by actor and poker player now James Woods.
Right, and lots of my friends, I was like, holy crap, what the hell?
Right.
This is being robbed, no way.
Right, and what happened was, they never did catch those guys.
Mm, the guys.
Or girls or whatever.
That's why now the Bellagio is going to be watching their chips too.
Well, yeah. Speaking of, there was, a couple years ago, there was this brilliant guy. I'm using this sarcastically, but he came up to the Bellagio in a motorcycle and had a helmet on. And he ran inside and grabbed chips off the craps table.
Right.
He took millions of dollars off the poker table. I think over $1 million. Table? I mean, I'm sorry, off the craps table. But the genius that he was took the $25,000 chips.
Oh, aren't they serial numbers?
They are serial numbers, and they have RFIDs. So not only, but it gets better. This guy, he went on 2+2 poker forums. You know, the prime poker forum.
I know what that is.
The primary, and he was asking people how to cash them.
Wow.
Under the screen name Biker Bandit.
What a wanker.
It gets better. This guy's dad was a judge.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't see that coming. All right. Yeah, so the latest casino news. There's other stuff that we'll be talking about.
Right. So that's what we're planning to do. Speaking
all that
of
stuff, crazy tales. From
speaking of latest casino news, I was reading this morning that Elton John, who was doing a stint at, I believe it's Caesar's Palace. I'm not 100% sure.
I have no idea.
But Elton John, the singer, I guess he had some kind of crazy meltdown on stage yesterday.
Again?
Well, apparently.
It seems to be a thing. Many years ago, my mother went to his concert. He walked out on stage. He started singing. A bug went in his mouth. He canceled the whole concert. They went there for nothing.
Well, this one, he decided he was going to bring some fans up on stage and talk, or so they can, you know, get a closer view of him. And then I guess someone said something and to another person in the audience, and he walked off stage again.
Wow!
And then he came back, you know, a short time later and said, "No more." No more no more fans on stage.
That
no more.
Man is damn the master of...
Well, he's a drama queen, right?
Right. Clearly.
He's the queen bitch, apparently.
Oh, really?
That's what the name that I've heard from him.
So, I just have to confess something, and that's that this is not our actual first show.
It is not.
It is our second show. The first one was recorded from Las Vegas. But yes. I needed time to settle down.
Yeah, the first show was done a short time after the October 1st incident.
It was.
At Mandalay Bay, which they still have no idea really what happened.
Oh, well, someone shot through a window and killed people.
Yes.
This we know for sure.
Yes.
And injured others.
And then a friend of mine at the time, his name was Tom, he was working the show.
He was.
And he was, I don't know if he was a security guard or some type of, but, you know, they have these, or just a person to help the crowds move, but he had...
Like one of those ushers.
Yeah, he had this big yellow vest on.
Right. And this is why we had to can the show.
Yes.
It's all Tom's fault. No, it's actually my fault. What happens, just to give a little bit of a, you know, background, before he goes and makes me sound like an evil, evil woman... if I get really nervous, like my life is at, you know, risk, or someone's just died, or, you know, those people that laugh at inappropriate moments, yeah, that's me. That is me.
And you were laughing wildly inappropriately.
Right. Well, it's kind of funny that I was. Now, it wasn't at the time.
I would say it's a nervous laugh more than anything else.
Right. That's exactly what it is. I got really nervous. And I said, how awful is it? I mean, poor your friend.
Tom, yes.
Tom, right. Okay, so here's poor Tom. And you just told me about it. Running for his life with a giant vest on. Just looked like a moving target, no doubt, because he's a big man.
Yes, he is a big man.
He's certainly compared to me, anyway.
Think everybody's big compared to you.
And I just started laughing.
Right.
You tried to make excuses for me. We had to can the show anyway. You get the hint. And I just, you know, it was a touchy subject.
Maybe one day down the road we'll maybe air some bits and pieces of it.
Because I
did save it. I did not delete it.
Didn't?
Nope. Hmm. I would call that leverage in this business.
Right. Well, I just want to, just in case he ever does that, I do not think it's funny. One little bit.
Right.
I was really shaken up. I remember ringing a friend in the middle of the night, absolutely panicking, because I expected them to maybe be at that concert.
Yeah.
I thought they liked concerts. They could be there. And then they didn't answer their phone. And then I panicked more, because then there was no messages being delivered, and all I could think is they've been trampled and killed, and I didn't know what to think. So I was really shaken up.
Yeah, it was a pretty...
like everyone. But
pretty... That actually occurred the week of G2E. the gaming conference, which I was there. And I've never seen it so ghostly on Las Vegas Boulevard. I mean, it was literally, there was no people out in the morning. It was just a very eerie feeling.
Well, but I returned, it was kind of dead, one end of the street.
It's gotten a little bit better. I mean, with the National Rodeo that occurred, which you were in town for the National Rodeo,
yes,
weren't you?
Yes, I was. The Wrangler Thingamabob was on one night I was out.
Wrangler Thingamabob.
I don't remember what
I think
that
we could. That's a technical Australian term, I believe.
It is. It means Wrangler. I forget the rest of it. You know, right. It was something to do with cowboys and right. Wrangler.
But it's gotten back to normal somewhat. I mean, it's never fully there, but...
Well, I was scared when I was out the night of that. Mm-hmm. You see, this is... Some people are going to be affected for forever and some aren't. Now, I wasn't there. But every time a cowboy would, yeah, or, you know, whatever, I would be, like, jumping.
Right, right. But...
Plus, there was a Muslim man praying once.
Yeah, she told me about that. You were freaking out.
Yes, I was. He was in the middle of the floor at the New York, New York. Thank you, security guards, for not listening to me. I thought, this can't be right. There's a man praying, a Muslim man, in the middle of the casino. And, yeah, they did nothing. They said they'd get to it when they finished their little conversation.
Wasn't there a man doing something? They were preoccupied with something, you said?
Yes. I would be. I think they should be caring. Anyway, whatever.
No offense
to any Muslims.
We had dinner at that pizza place in New York, New York, which you really liked.
Yes, we did.
In the center square there.
Yeah, we've been kicking around a bit.
Yeah, it was good. Las Vegas does have some of the greatest food around.
I agree. And I just love the buffets. Hence, go back to the whole Las Vegas advisor. I'm not doing, you know, advertisements for them, but that voucher book.
Yeah, Anthony is a great, good friend of mine, and he and I have been, you know, very good friends for a long time, and you know,
that's the owner.
Yeah, Anthony Curtis of Las Vegas. And he also he's Huntington Press, which also publishes a lot of gaming books.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, it's just that... type of thing.
Value.
Yeah, there's a lot of value
there.
There's
another one, too.
Yeah, the American Casino Guide, who that's put out by Steve Boré.
Right. Okay.
Who's also a good friend of mine.
Right.
And, you know, he's...
And then there's the... Unless you guys are going to advertise with us, I'm going to keep calling you a ripoff. You waste all of my time on your stupid little Vegas game on my iPhone. What is it called?
MyVegas? Oh, that's a terrible...
I keep getting coins, and then I buy stuff, and anyway, whatever.
Yeah, it's just they're bait and switch, right?
Well, I went to get a drink. No, it's 2-for-1, and, you know, free credit here, and you can only spend it on this.
What was your biggest shock when you went to Vegas for the first time?
I don't know.
Oh, I mean, as far as drinks or, you know, were they expensive?
You're getting to something. Oh, you saw my rant, maybe?
Yeah, I did see your rant on your blog.
I went to the casino and went up to the bar and ordered a bourbon and coke.
Which casino was this at?
This was at the Cromwell.
Okay.
In actual fact. I don't know if I can get sued for naming them, but nonetheless, it's true, so I suppose I can't. And I'm not in America, so stick it. So, I went to the Cromwell, ordered my bourbon and coke, and she said, what bourbon? I'm like, I don't know, whatever's cheapest, just bourbon and coke is fine. You know, I'm looking at the bottles, there's Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, whatever, right. I like them all. Bourbon's bourbon. Not really, but nonetheless. So, she brings it along, and she says, she brings it along in a little short glass, which was half filled with ice, let me add that part, which means my bourbon and coke may as well have been about 3 shots of bourbon and coke. You know, it's like, how many mils in a shot?
I don't know.
You don't drink, do you?
No, I don't.
And she says that'll be $14.
American dollars?
Yes. That's... I'm like, $14?
If you put $5 into a slot machine, you would have got it for free.
I didn't know that back then.
Well, now you know. Again, another very useful tip.
But yes,
Dr. Nick
absolutely.
And the Hot Aussie Chick Show.
Do not walk into the casino and order a bloody drink, ever.
A bloody drink.
No,
yeah.
They should be called bloody drinks.
Bloody hell.
$14 each. Yeah.
They were.
And so, that was armed robbery.
I don't think you call it robbery.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
You willingly gave them the money.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
I don't know.
I am going to go to the Cromwell over and over and over again, and I'm going to sit down and pretend to play the poker machines, or what it slots, whatever you American people call them. And I am going to sit there and push the drink button or do whatever you have to do until the woman comes along, or I'm going to call her the bar and I'm going to give them a dollar, and I'm going to do that 14 times until I get my $14 worth of bourbon.
Not a bad idea. Now, speaking of that, let me tell you, there are some casinos now are putting, I know MGM is doing this for a fact, I've seen it. You put, you know, your money in the poker machines or the slot machines, as you call them.
Right.
And, you know, you have to play at a certain rate before a light goes on the top of it.
Oh, well, that ruins that idea.
And, well, I don't think that the Cromwell is doing it yet, but you have to play at a certain rate before the light goes on and the casino cocktail waitress brings you a drink.
Okay, well, if it is the case of the Cromwell, I'm just going to hold up a $50 note and wave it at her and say, bourbon and coke, please. And then when she comes back, I'll have it swapped for a dollar.
That's a good idea. Those cocktail waitresses make ridiculous amounts of money a year.
I should become one.
Yes.
I can't play online poker.
But, I mean, they're making north of $120,000 a year at some of the higher-end places.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Like Bellagio and...
Though, I don't know, I was at the Orleans just before Christmas, and I saw them walking around in their skimpy little Santa baby suits, mm-hmm. and I don't think I would like to wear one of those.
They look so uncomfortable, don't they?
They do, but they also look so fabulous. I mean, if I was gay, I'd definitely be checking them out.
Good for you.
And what about men? Are they definitely checking them out? The Santa suits
working?
I
would say yes. I think you put cleavage and men in a room, there's going to be some attention being paid.
Which is great for women playing poker. Because yeah. I was in the poker room, yeah. walking around with their little Santa suits on. So if I'm the only woman at a table with 9 guys, yeah. and little Santa comes along, Santa baby, in a little mm-hmm. suit, hello.
You mentioned you were in Vegas a few times this year. What was your favorite parts about it? I mean, what did you like the most? Because I've been around it for so long that I kind of lose perspective. I'm occasionally I try to pretend I'm a tourist, you know, and do some things. I mean, were there any particular shows that stuck out? And
well, the Beatles love at you know.
Oh, the one, the Mirage.
I think so. Yes, yeah, yes, I've seen that.
I've seen it like 3 times. It's an amazing.
That was
show.
Fabulous, and I also went to. The Mentalist, where I,
Oh, the Mentalist. That's the one of the Planet Hollywood.
I think he's everyone and he's just whispering to me. Because he's just smirking and whispering. Yes. You need to tell them what you said to me.
Yes, you got to tell them what you said to me about the Beatles show.
Well, not that I've ever had one before. I need to make that clear. I'm actually very, very anti-drug. But the Beatles is kind of probably the closest I think that anyone would get. To an acid trip without taking one.
Yeah, it was pretty.
I was told that by someone else.
Yeah, it was
I agree.
Pretty impressive.
I agree yeah. completely.
And the Mark Savard, the one of the,
right,
the Mentalist
that one. Yes, I told you about that.
Didn't you tell me you were called on stage for that one?
I was, which is what made it so fabulously freaky scary. I wonder if they recorded that night. Anyway, they called up the most beautiful woman on stage. We'll leave the part about young. The youngest beautiful woman. There were lots of young women.
Who got to choose the most youngest and beautiful? And
another woman.
How was the light? How was the lighting there? Was it good?
Yes. What are you trying to say?
I'm just...
Okay, so one minute you're calling me the hot Aussie chick, and the next minute you're asking me questions about why I'm chosen as the hottest, youngest, hottest looking woman in the room. So I went up on stage where he proceeded to shoot around nail guns. High-powered nail guns, which went straight through planks of wood, and he bang, bang, bang. I thought the man was going to die. He, you know what he said to me?
What did he say to you?
Doesn't pay to be hot, does it?
In front of everybody?
Yes!
Wow.
Oh, I don't know if they heard it, but that just made me more nervous. He whispered in my ear. Doesn't pay to be hot now, does it? I was like, Jesus! No, it does not. I've never been so fit. There was no poker face happening that night. No poker face at all.
You were freaking out,
absolutely,
huh?
Shitting myself.
Okay.
I don't know if you use that term in the USA. That means I was packing it. Well, you don't use that either. It means I was scared, terrified.
Right.
Okay.
And then you told me you and your girlfriends went to see the hypnotist guy.
Yes, it was a hypnotist guy. Name some of them. Because you would know. You would see the advertisements.
I forget.
Okay, well, you think of hypnotists. Well, I tell you what he did. He called a whole ton of people up on stage, and then he selected out of them. Now, I don't know. It was so crazy. So crazy funny, though. I have never laughed so hard in my life. You know, once he pulled out a belt.
Okay.
He thought, well, no, he didn't think. He had the people on stage thinking that the belt was a snake.
Really?
Right, and they were running for their lives. Anyway, so he coiled the belt back up, and he walked along the stage to each and every person. He said to the whole audience and to the hypnotized people that only the spit of a virgin would make it go away. Well, okay. You know what? I just knew it. I saw it coming. I couldn't even look. There was this big old dorky young guy. I don't know, not so young. By young, I mean like, you know.
Younger probably, than you.
Yeah, he was probably 30. And he just looked like the kind that would definitely sit at home. And I don't know, he would be the 40-year-old virgin kind. You know okay. The movie, right?
Yeah.
I knew as soon as he got to him, everyone's going, nut, 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 you know, as they walk along. And he's just like, ugh, and just goes to spit on the belt.
And did it work?
Well, yeah, apparently so. Everyone
was
just
there blow-up dolls involved somewhere?
Yes, there was. It was a very filthy show. They had auditions for male porn shows, and the men had to have pretend. You're making me feel really uncomfortable, Dr. Nick.
Hey,
are you perverted?
Now, no.
Not now, no?
Now,
in,
no.
In your day?
In my day. Like during it. My indiscriminate youth, I might
was
have...
perverted.
I
right.
might have done
what
okay,
yes,
too.
Go and see that. Go and have a look around Vegas and look for a hypnotist show. Hypnotist
yeah.
show. And yeah. definitely go and see that one. There's a woman that walked out, speaking of being perverted. He hypnotized her during the show. I'd forgotten about it. That, until she left the building... crossed this line and left
right.
the building. Every time someone touched her, she would have an orgasm. Funniest thing ever. You should have seen this woman orgasming all the way out the door. Every everyone wanted to touch her. She's like, Anyway, there's definitely shows worth watching. And I got them cheaper, of course. Because
of
coupon books and...
The vouchers.
The vouchers, yes,
yes,
the vouchers. So...
Now, you stayed at a couple hotels. Which one was your favorite?
The Vidara.
Ooh, that's a beautiful hotel.
The Vidara has a lovely room, a lovely apartment. It's great for when you're staying long term because, you know, you can cook food.
They have like a little kitchenette there
yeah.
and things like that.
A big bath and a pool that doesn't have people that blow whistles on you.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, I told you about that.
You
right.
told me about that.
I'm a naughty girl. I was at the Flamingo and I was just jumping around the pool like a crazy woman and out. I'm like, oh boy, that's it.
That's it for
Danielle's
you.
Danielle's kicked out of the pool. No more.
They had
Flamingo.
A little water slide there at the Flamingo too, didn't they?
Yeah, I went down that. That was fun, and while it lasted.
Right before you got booted.
Right. And I've also stayed at the Rio. And
the Rio. That is a that is probably one of my least favorite hotels.
Yeah, I got my ankle hurt there.
How?
Well, I complained and complained for days on end. You know what? I'm going to say this, because the Rio has given me nothing, you know, to make
to
up for this.
For
right. You know, I thought that in America, that if something happened to you, and especially in these circumstances, that you guys would make up. You know, that happens in Australia. So, we arrived, and the doors broke, and they got these big-ass glass doors that lead to the bathrooms.
Yeah.
And it was off its hinges, so you couldn't, like, slide it properly. And, you know, I'm sharing a room with my sister. And when you did slide it, it went bang, 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 in and out.
Right.
Okay? So I'm, like, telling them, you have to fix this door. And they didn't fix it. And the door went bang, bang, bang into my elbow, into my ankle, which I actually still have the scar now. Here, look, look, look. Scar
yeah, I can verify
ankle.
There is a scar.
So they have scarred a hot Aussie chick's ankle and not even given two shits about it.
Well, there was a lot of things going around
right.
wrong with them. Wasn't there some type of
Legionnaires.
Like, yeah.
And not making a week. They went a week without changing our sheets, and we didn't have a do not disturb thing.
They had a
they
upped and moved like an entire floor to another
yes,
hotel.
Yes, and they also
during that time.
Were flushing our floor with chlorine bombs of some sort. I could smell
okay.
so much chlorine. We were the only ones left in the end, which was a great thing. Let me tell you this.
Now, you got to tell the story about your... About the screaming.
Oh, well, I'll tell you that, too. So, first, we arrive, and I was really scared. Because I've not been to the USA. Reason being... Da-da-da-da-da, my identity had been stolen. So, I was kind of stuck in Australia for a long time. Hence
right.
the online poker and not live.
Right.
Nonetheless, I finally get to the USA. Get into the Rio. I'm so excited to be there. And then it starts. The screams, the death-curdling screams. Honestly, I just didn't know what to think. I thought someone was getting murdered outside very regularly, and I was very terrified until I realized days later, this is days of terror, and I was pretty much staying in my room as much as I could, that the zip line was going straight past my room.
Oh, the zip
the
line
people
from
on
the
zip line were screaming, yeah, screaming, yes. And I was also stoned.
Stone?
Which didn't make it better.
By choice or by...
No, by accident. And you know what? I think it gave me paranoia.
Oh,
so
that's right, because, you know, a lot of the younger poker players like to indulge in...
Yeah, well, a lot of people. Apparently, if you get a smoker's room, a smoker's floor, rather. If you go on the smoker's floor, you need to get a wet towel and put it under the door. Or dampen a towel and put it under the crack of the door. Because otherwise, you're going to be like me. I had to get Visine.
That's right.
Because my eyes, I was waking up with eyes all red. And I was waking up feeling, ugh, like, what the hell?
Oh, you posted a picture on your Facebook, or maybe it was your sister, about the American pizza that you guys ordered.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool, too. The giant pizza, it's big as a truck wheel.
Now, because in Australia, the pizzas are relatively small.
Well, apparently they are, yes. I thought they were pretty big, but no. American pizza, biggest thing in the world. Do not go getting like a 34 or 36 inch pizza or whatever they are. Don't ask them for the largest pizza they've got. That is very stupid. Very stupid.
It was literally the size of a car.
I had
tire.
To carry it with my sister. Two of us.
Two people carrying
two people
one pizza.
Carrying one pizza. Though I am a small person. It wouldn't have made a difference, I don't
right,
think.
Right, right.
Anyway, enough of that. Blah, blah, Danielle's. I'm going to Noumea.
Yes, our next show, as we wrap up this one, we're going to be broadcasting.
Oh, yes, we are going to
Noumea. Yes, we're going to be broadcasting from lovely Noumea for Mel
mm-hmm.
Judah's
Poker World and the NCPO, which is the New Caledonia Poker Open, where they're going to have the first ever cash out poker tournament in the Southern Hemisphere.
Now, cash out poker was a game actually invented by, or
Mel
a structure
Judah.
Invented by
yes.
Mel Judah. Now, Mel Judah, for those who don't know, is a very accomplished poker player in his
uh-huh.
own right, a longtime poker veteran.
Mm-hmm.
He made it to the final table at least once that I know of. In 96, I believe. With
one of the World Series of Poker events,
the main
I'm
event,
sure.
yes.
The
before,
main event?
It was the main event. Cause
oh,
he was number three, I believe. He finished. He was at the table with Stu Unger at the time.
Go Mel. I didn't
yes,
know that.
Yeah, so.
He's definitely in the... Oh, excuse me, the Australian Poker Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I wrote the front cover article on that.
Right,
You know, all of the inductees, and he was one of them.
Right.
But yes, this is... The game is fabulous. The cash-out poker, what they do is that during the tournament, you can cash out.
Right.
Instead of going right the way through.
Right.
And if you're a donkey, obviously, you know...
You get lucky the first couple of rounds, you want to make the money and get out.
Pretty much, yeah. Right. Well, not the first couple of rounds. I don't remember exactly how it works, but check
well,
it out.
We'll talk with Mel about the cash out poker and
yeah, we'll get back to you with
yeah,
the exact details, or you can check out the cash out poker website. Either way, that's what we're doing.
Okay, so this was a great first show.
Second show,
depending on how you want to look at it.
Right.
First wholly appropriate show, I think we can agree
yeah,
on.
Yeah, first show when I wasn't laughing at inappropriate times.
Right.
Not laughing happily.
Okay, so we will pick this up again next week from the island of Noumea.
Oh, no, the island of New Caledonia.
New Caledonia, the city of Noumea.
Right. And
I had those reversed.
Le Meridien.
The Le Meridien.
Or the Grand Casino.
Either
Noumea.
Way, we'll
yeah.
figure it out and we'll see what's going on there. And
update them, too, on the tournament set. Because you know what? For any poker player, you have to know, going there is like playing poker in paradise.
Right. Okay, Hot Aussie Chick.
And Dr. Nick.
And we will get back to you next week, and we will
talk more crap.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening, and we hope to hear from you soon.
I don't want to hear from them.
Oh, well.
No more dick
they have
none of that stuff.
well, we will be setting up a comment email
right.
section, and you can hear this broadcast
mm-hmm.
Both on the Women's Poker World, which
mm-hmm.
Danielle put up, and we are going to be launching another site shortly.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be putting it on the Dr. Nick and Hot Aussie Chick
sure.
Facebook page.
Right. So take a look. Talk to you soon.
Obviously, they've taken a look. They're listening to us.
Obviously.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.